Char Station.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The rush is on. The holiday shopping season ends in 2 days. If you still have gifts left to buy, if you're stumped for the perfect gift for someone on your list, if panic is setting in, stick around this hour. We're going to hear from some folks who have come laden with ideas. And then later in the program, we have some suggestions on a different kind of last-minute giving, opportunities to give back. But to help put you to put that Christmas list to rest, we welcome Eve White, Laurie Prince, Rachel Fawcett, and Teresa Hernandez. Eve White is publisher and executive editor of Charlotte Parent Magazine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Laurie Prince is a contributing style editor of Charlotte Magazine. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mike.
Rachel Fawcett is founder and master crafter at Handmade Charlotte. She joins us by the phone from Dallas, Georgia, that is. Good morning. Welcome to Rachel. Welcome to this program.
Good morning.
And Teresa Hernandez is owner of Pura Vida Worldly Art. That's in Noda. And thank you for being here, too.
Thank you, Mike.
The first big question is it too late to find the perfect gift for someone? Just take us, anybody answer that question. It doesn't matter who.
Not if you have a car.
If you can get around and get out to shop, it's not too late. And if you're stuck with online, you might get it in time. Maybe.
Maybe.
If you're willing to pay.
If you're willing to pay a lot, yes. So why is it so difficult to find the perfect gift for some people? Because, you know, people should be theoretically done by now, but they're not because they just can't come up with the right gift. Why is it so hard?
Well, I think people want to give something that has a story that's special to the person, something that's functional, but that'll have meaning beyond the Christmas time.
And that's difficult. I would think it's less difficult at your store, Teresa, because you have some very unique items, which we'll talk about. But so, and those items do mean something.
They do. So, yeah, people want to give something that's special that not everyone is going to have. And that's not very easy to do.
That sounds right up your alley, too, Rachel.
Right. You know, I love to give the gift of handmade. And so, you know, finding and making something that they'll actually like and that's not something that you love. And, you know, I like to get the kids involved. So, you know, pulling out the paints and, you know, the scrap paper and even using the wrapping paper rolls in the center of the wrapping paper to make unique gifts that are mantle worthy.
Really? I used to do a program on television called Top of the Day with Barbara McKay, and every week we would have a craftsperson on the show, and she would take things like the roll out of the center of the wrapping paper and do incredible things with them. Things you would throw in the trash normally, but they make for interesting decorations and gifts.
Definitely. We repurpose, pretty much anything that comes through the studio from the boxes that our packages are coming into from Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
To the inside, the paper roll and on and on. I mean, I love, we've got some really, really fun crafts that we've been putting together, the entire holiday season, including a bird, an ornament or, specifically for the family that we're thinking about. And, we'll personalize those things. Anything really personalized is what I really tend to is my go-to, really. Like a fingerprint, a hand-printed item or something that really makes the gift incredibly unique. And I like an heirloom, to something that, will hang on the tree for years to come. And, simple things that will end up in the holiday box next year.
Both Charlotte Magazine and Charlotte Parent Magazine, along with some other publications, have published gift-giving guides. I guess you do this every year. It's kind of de rigueur. What does that say about this holiday season? Does it indicate that we just feel compelled to give gifts to more people than we have ideas for? So we need these lists.
I think in our case at Charlotte Parent, it's about trying to help moms. They're just so busy and
doing a gift guide helps give them some a little bit of direction, some things that have been curated, some things that we think would be fun. And this year we did a retro theme, so we got away from all the high-tech toys and went for some stuff that's we all could relate to, that maybe were created back in some as early as the 40s. And so that, for us, doing a gift guide every year really is about helping parents who, at the last minute, may have been so busy with Christmas plays in school that they finally wake up and go, I need to get something for Johnny or Susan. And that's what this is about, is helping them make their life easier.
Now, that's Charlotte Parents List. What about Charlotte Magazine's list?
Well, with Charlotte Magazine, we were looking to inspire. So we try to think of people in terms of categories, like someone you know who's a great entertainer. Or we have one called the Golden Heart, the mom who's busy looking after everyone else on committees, serving down at the auxiliary, and what would she really like? What would be special for her? And I think the challenge of finding a great gift is not just, is it a unique item, but also does it speak to how well you know that person? And is it really something that conveys the fact that you know them well enough to buy a gift that they'll really value?
Both of you have mentioned mom. None of you have mentioned dad.
Now we have the naturalist here, so we have plenty for the outdoorsman. We have maps, rod and reel, really fun item made, sold at Jesse Brown's, a hat from Great Outdoor Provision in chili and the chili pepper and black, the new color.
Are men more difficult to buy for?
I was going to say
women?
Yes, I think so.
Because there are fewer choices, or we're just dull.
No, I don't think you're ever dull. I think it just takes a lot of thought. You know, the thoughtful gift is hard for us when we're busy to take time and spend an hour and a half thinking carefully about someone. But for dads, I think what is a great gift is a calendar with pictures of all of their kids that they can take to the office. And you can get those made cheaply, but you got to invest some time in it and pick the right photos and that sort of thing. So,
and Shutterfly is right down the street. I mean, they're right down. I think they're in between Fort Mill and Rock Hill, and they're a nationwide company, and they do some beautiful work for custom books and calendars.
Absolutely, and that's a great idea. And that's so thoughtful. I mean, a dad that opens that up on Christmas morning is going to maybe have a lot more heartwarming moments than the sweater.
Talk to me about teenagers. Because teenagers seem to me, all they really want is the gift card, right? Because they want to buy their own stuff, their own swag.
That seems to be true in our house, definitely.
So
I have a 15-year-old.
I do too.
So Rachel, that puts you in a bind because you're all about making things. You can't make a gift card.
Exactly. It's so funny. But I can knit a sleeve that the gift card will land in, right? Oh. Or something clever to make something that the gift card will like sort of hide around or jump around the house or something, make a game out of it.
Yeah, you can also give gift cards to some places where you can make your own product. For example, like Bead Lush, which is located in Plaza Midwood, offers jewelry making classes. So you could give someone a certificate for that so they can go and make their own item.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we have a whole page of that for the crafter. There's a wine and dine that off East Boulevard where you can go to a painting class, paint a picture. You can enroll in a mosaic class. Yarn House has classes for knitting, even beginner classes, and also Beads, Inc. over in Myers Park. They have a two-story building full of beads, lots of classes, fun place to go.
And I think you can get creative. You can get gift cards to the movie theaters, and you can put them in popcorn boxes. And you can kind of theme gifts for teens in that way so that it is a little bit more fun. There is no doubt that they want the gift card and the iTunes card or the electronics.
Right.
There are ways to be thoughtful.
Yeah, you could also give them cards like to encourage their craft, their skill, like guitar taking classes, painting classes. A lot of artists will give one-on-one sessions, and you can buy them a certificate for that.
And that's something you can do on Christmas Eve. All you have to do is write a note.
That's right.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to pay for your guitar lessons.
Absolutely.
Really.
Or the ultimate procrastinator.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Eve, you mentioned retro gifts. The Charlotte Magazine has printed all these suggestions for retro gifts. Why? Is that a trend, or is that just your idea to do something different this year?
Well, oddly enough, at Charlotte Parent, it was our idea as a team way back in October. And then suddenly, about Thanksgiving, we saw that the New York Times did a section on retro toys, and that Huffington Post was was doing something on retro toys. So apparently it was a trend that all kinds of people were thinking about. And it's just a way for parents to get towards more learning toys that aren't so technology-driven.
Are these toys for younger kids, like maybe, I don't know, infant to 5 or 6 or 7? Or are these toys for 7 to 13-year-olds?
This is kind of a mix of, say, 3-year-old to 8-year-old.
So they're not really into technology yet. Well, yes, they are.
Oh, yes, they are. There are many 4-year-olds, preschoolers, carrying around iPods and VTech toys.
No, Mom, you do it this way.
Yes.
So they know more than the parents do. So
absolutely true.
So how do you wean kids? How do you convince kid that this toy that doesn't blink, it has no screen, it doesn't make any sounds, batteries are not needed. How do you convince them that this is fun? You'll enjoy this. Try this.
I think you give it to them. I mean, this little Fisher-Price chatter telephone, I remember that back from the day, still available at Brilliant Sky Toys and Books. It makes noise. It does make noise. The eyes move. You give it to children and they start to enjoy the interaction and the engagement and the fun of using their imagination. I mean, look at Lincoln Log.
I was
sets.
Just going to bring that up.
Who doesn't love Lincoln Logs or Legos?
Well, I was so surprised to see Lincoln Logs on there because I had Lincoln Logs growing up. But back then, in the Pleistocene era, Daniel Boone and shows like that were on television. Davy Crockett was on television. So you would see people living in these log homes, log buildings. Today, they don't know what log buildings look like, but I was pleased to find out that these are still made out of wood, not plastic. But I was shocked to discover, I mean really shocked to discover, that a 361-piece set, I don't know how big that is, maybe it's the size of a trash can, cost $100.
Yeah, well,
$100.
That is Let me the say collector's that again. Edition.
$100.
Did you notice it was the collector's edition?
No. What makes it a collector's edition?
I really can't tell you other than I believe it's an anniversary edition that Lego has put out. And that is kind of shocking. But there, if you buy Legos, you'll see that they have $100 sets, $124 sets too. They're these massive sets that build complete scenes from Star Wars movies or any of the more relevant and recent movies. And so I think it's just a trend. There's so many pieces and so many parts to
so
it.
So Legos are still relatively popular, more so than Lincoln Logs, I would think.
Yes.
And you have what it was, I forgot the name of it. There's an equivalent to pickup sticks in there as well. Which I remember having as a child.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what they're called now.
See that one. There was
do kids know what to do with these things?
The jack sticks, I think is what they're called,
yes.
The jack sticks. Yeah, they do. You kind of just have to put them in front of children and let them do their own thing. They actually do know. I mean, children do engage with these toys in a unique sort of way, much more than the visual way that they would engage with an iPad.
And I was also interested to discover that they still make ViewMasters. I mean, I had more ViewMasters than I can count as a kid. Can you still get the films? And do kids care that you can see stereoscopic vision when they have a screen that glows and moves? Do they care?
You know, it's just kind of a fun thing. Whether they care or not, I'm not sure. But they do have the 3D version, so it's a little bit upgraded of the ViewMaster. They have that available for $19.99 at World Market. World Market, by the way, has a lot of retro toys, fun little things. I love, personally, the slide whistle because it makes that noise. I can't even begin to imitate.
I had one too. Parents love it.
I wonder if people are going back to some of the retro toys also because people are trying to focus on more simple items too. I think after the recession, people started thinking about what kind of things do we bring into our house.
I want to bring that up with you because that's what you're all about, and among other things. And we're going to talk to Laurie Prince about some of the suggestions in Charlotte Magazine, and Rachel Fawcett, and all the stuff that she does with Handmade Charlotte, and Teresa Hernandez with Pura Vida Worldly Art. Also with us, obviously, Eva White with Charlotte Parent Magazine. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Bragg Financial Advisors, supporting Catawba Lands Conservancy's year-end giving campaign to save land, water, wildlife, and working farms. Details at catawbalands.org. Think you know everything about Charlotte? No matter how long you have lived here, you still got some things to learn. And recently, the editors of Charlotte Magazine set out to learn things they didn't know. They met with eccentric restaurateurs, found out about the history of troubled traffic spots, even the hidden meanings in Ben Long's frescoes. You may not even know where Ben Long's frescoes are. Well, we'll tell you all of this and more tomorrow as they share a treasure trove of information about the secrets of the city tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the hacking of Sony Pictures poses new challenges for U.S. cybersecurity. Questions about why it's different from other attacks and what kind of response the Obama administration might take.
Join the conversation on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. In this first couple of segments, we're talking about last-minute gift ideas for people who you just have not gotten to yet on your list with Eve White, publisher and executive editor of Charlotte Parent Magazine, Laurie Prince, contributing style editor, Charlotte Magazine. Also with us, Teresa Hernandez, owner of Pura Vida Worldly Art, which we will explore in just a moment. And Rachel Fawcett joins us by phone. She's the founder of and master crafter with Handmade Charlotte. You're actually out of Atlanta. So why is it called Handmade Charlotte?
I can't tell you how many we've been contacted by the Chamber of Commerce, the Goodwill of Charlotte, and so many different companies and organizations. I actually work with several companies out of Charlotte, Coates and Clark, and right down the road, Pottery Barn, which is in Hickory, North Carolina, and Springs Creative. So we work with several companies in Charlotte. So we're always tickled when we get to be a part of an event or something that's happening in Charlotte. So I have five children, and my fourth child, her name is Charlotte. And when she was a baby, she was wearing like a handmade sweater and handmade pants and a little pair of handmade moccasins. And my husband said, "Look, it's Handmade Charlotte." And I was like, "That's it." I was looking for a name. I was looking for a name for like a really cool Etsy shop. And that's sort of how it happened.
So you got five kids. How do you do what you do? Because it takes time to hand make things. How do you do it with five kids?
Well,
we
have over 30 contributors worldwide, as well as 10 full-time incredible super creatives that are on staff at Handmade Charlotte in our studio.
Now, your site, your website is it's handmadecharlotte.com. Your site is an explosion of rainbow colors of twine and cookies and things like that. Where does this come from in you? How did you become a handcrafter?
Well, I guess, I've always made things, macaroni. I grew up making macaroni necklaces like everybody else. And, I just love doing it. And so, the passion that drives it is, definitely comes from me. And I guess, even if I didn't have the website, I would still be making things. Mm-hmm. And, my mother was a knitter and my aunt was a basket weaver. And I just have a passion for making.
You have gift ideas and decorating ideas. And one that caught my eye, and I guess this is more of a decorating idea than it is a gift idea, but they're painted ice lanterns. They're actually made out of ice. Go very quickly through the process of doing these things.
So basically, what you're going to do is you're going to take a latex balloon and you're going to fill it with water. And then you're going to take a 2-ounce bottle of paint, Apple Barrel preferably, and you're going to squeeze a few, the kids will love this, they're going to squeeze a couple of drops into that balloon, and then you're going to stick a tea light into the well. Once you've tied off the balloon, you're going to stick a tea light into to make like a well, and then you're going to stick that into the freezer swirl it up around, stick the tea light in, and stick it in the freezer. And you could probably make 10 or 12 of those. And this is for colder weather climates where, you know, the ice is going to last. But even in the south here, those lanterns will work well for a party.
So you put them in the freezer, they freeze, you take the tea light, which is making the impression in the ice, out,
exactly.
You peel away the latex balloon, and you've got this colored ice thing that you stick a tea light into and light the candle. Doesn't the candle instantly melt the ice?
No. You can use LED lights. And,
oh.
With five kids,
okay.
I tend to use a lot of LED lights around the house. So we can have that, the flickering light without the danger aspect or without that, fear of knocking over a candle or whatever. But no, we can use a LED light. But also, it takes a while for, a chunk of ice that thick to melt, even with a candle.
Now, with three,
but they're really fun.
With 3 days to go, I mean, you could do some decorations, but with 3 days to go before the big day, is it too late to set out, to go to your website, get some ideas, and start making gifts for people? Is it too late to do that? Or is this stuff you need to store away for an upcoming birthday or a holiday party or next Christmas?
No, I think you still have time. I think I have to say that I'm still making things, and I'm still making my, pom-pom gift wrap and googly-eyed little creatures. And, I 100%, guys, we have at least 48 more hours, right? I'm a kind of last-minute kind of gal, and, after decorating for our audience, and now it's time to decorate for us. So yeah, I think we definitely have time.
Let me come to Laurie here for a second. On Charlotte Magazine, you've done a list and you've broken it out in categories. Things for people who like to entertain, for crafters. You mentioned, I think, naturalists a second ago. And you have a category for skateboarders, which really surprised me, actually. That's kind of out of character for Charlotte Magazine. They're not exactly reading your magazine.
You'd be surprised.
How did you come up with things for skateboarders?
Well, we were looking for a teen girl and a teen boy, and the equestrian page started out as being for a teen girl. It morphed away from that, but the teen boy we thought skateboarders.
Okay.
And it's pretty big here in Charlotte. There are some small businesses, Black Sheep is one,
right.
Who cater just to skateboarders.
We've had them on. They're really kind of cool.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, and these clothes, if you look at them, anybody could wear them. They don't shout skateboarder. Well, maybe not to me anyway. Like the Levi pants, the work pants mm-hmm. are great for teen boys. And this is a military jacket. Just
okay.
a good all-round jacket. And, of course, Vans. The kids love those as well. They're just a great shoe.
And also on your list are things that are relatively inexpensive, but
yes.
also things that cost thousands of dollars. I mean, $4,000 or $5,000. How important is monetary value in gifts?
Probably depends. Well, we all love giving and receiving an expensive gift. But I think it is only important in that you want to give a gift that speaks to who that person is. So if someone has extremely refined taste, you would want to give them, a purse or a gift or an item that is reflective of
that.
What
are some of the unique things on your list? As people came in, you're a contributing editor. I don't know if you did the whole list. Did you do the whole list?
Well, we put it together. A team of us put it
okay.
together.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of the things that perhaps either surprised you as you found them for the list or other people brought to the table to put on the list? I would never have thought of that. That's really kind of neat.
Great question. I think that the Cardinal Gin made by the brothers in Kings Mountain was a unique idea. They were the third distillery to get a license here in North Carolina, so they do distilled gin. That's a pretty unique idea.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to sample it?
We had two bottles to examine. I think the Opticron binoculars are pretty neat because that's a UK company. They focus on affordable binoculars, but their American office is in Huntersville. So that surprised me.
Really?
Yeah.
In Huntersville?
Yes.
Can you see them from here? Only with the binoculars.
Only with the binoculars. Let's see what else. This very, very beautiful teacup from Elizabeth Bruns is, I think it was around $800. Just exquisite.
For the cup?
Cup and saucer.
Oh, well.
Two items for that price.
Uh-huh.
And the Blue Jay Beads bangles from K.K. Bloom that this young woman is wearing in the photograph, they are made by a woman whose brother was diagnosed with autism. They're very reasonably priced, usually less than $50. And she often includes a small charm to indicate support for autism. And I believe the only accent color she uses in those bangles is blue.
Which is the Autism Speaks bangle color, actually. Teresa, your shop, Pura Vida Worldly Art, it's in Noda, and it focuses on socially conscious items. And you mentioned a few minutes ago that something happened during the recession, and I think you're right about this, that people, first of all, they had to step back and say, whoa, I can't do what I did in 2006. The money's not there. But when they did step back, they realized that perhaps they didn't have to go back to that way of life if and when we ever return to the old ways. The new normal is looking at things and going, do I have to do that? Or maybe if I do this, maybe it should mean something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. After the recession, I definitely saw my customers change from buying less and buying more consciously and thinking about, do I need that many items? And what I do decide to buy, how was it made? Who made it? Or is there any kind of labor abuse, human rights abuse? Are people getting paid fair wages for this? Really thinking about the meaning of the gift, how it's made, and how they're contributing to the world through their purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have realized more and more that how they spend their money speaks about how they see the world or how they want to create the world. And so more and more they look to find items, either for themselves or for others, that are going to benefit the maker of the product.
So how do you vet? I think it's important that you bring up the fact that people want to know that people who make these products are getting paid, that they're not slave labor, essentially, that they're not children
right.
working in sweatshops for pennies
exactly.
a day. That's all important. But how do you vet the materials?
Well, I work with several ways. I work with local artists as well as mm-hmm. artists all over the globe. So with artists that live in Charlotte or the surrounding areas, I just work with them directly in choosing the products. And I talk to them about how they make their process. And so I know that they're making it, and they're usually making it out of their studio or their house. There's no abuse right there, mm-hmm. and I pay them whatever they state as their price.
Mm-hmm.
With the artisans in other parts of the world, I work with the Fair Trade Federation. So the Fair Trade Federation actually does the vetting. They certify mm-hmm. all these cooperatives across the globe to certify that there's no forced child labor or any kind of forced labor, that there are fair wages, that there's no that the footprint of the environment
right.
is as low as possible.
So now that you've done all the vetting and you know that these are legitimate products made by people in legitimate situations who are being fairly paid, what I saw on your website at least was a really eclectic mix of things, art for the wall, art to use, art to wear.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I try to provide products that can appeal to all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how hard it is to find products for men. Well, we have really cool, for example, picture frames made out of recycled bike chains, made out of computer motherboards, which is really unique for the guy that likes to garden or just likes to sit outside.
Right.
We have birdhouses made out of straw and carved out of coconuts, carved out of gourds. So we have things for men. We also have, obviously, a lot of things for women, clothing and jewelry and whatnots. For people that like to cook, we have pottery from parts of Africa, Latin America, Asia. And we have a lot of things for toys and teenagers, because one of my goals has been to provide items that are affordable.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the expensive gifts earlier. We offer a lot of products for last minute gift shoppers that are under $50 and $40. Again, for kids, for teenagers, for men and women.
It strikes me as you're talking about what you're offering and some of the items in your in Charlotte Magazine's list, and obviously things, Rachel, that you're suggesting is that handmade gifts and things like that. These not only show that you as the gift giver have put some thought into this. You just didn't go to the Best Buy and grab a pair of headphones off the display. You thought about this, and you've paired this gift somehow to the recipient.
Absolutely. And you can tell through our products that they're handmade. And it's always fun for me when I have kids coming in the store because I can tell them the stories about the product, and they'll often say, someone made this? And you see this light bulb going off where you realize that they never thought about someone actually making these things that they're playing with. Hmm. And so I explained to them the country. We have a map in the store, the country where the product came from and how it was made and how that particular group of people play it. And so they really learn to appreciate it. And again, you see this light going in their heads of, oh, these things are made by other people, people like me, people, you know, like you. So that's really neat.
When something is handmade, is that a revelation to some people out there that somebody actually took the time to do this for me, Rachel?
You know, I think that I think handmade, I mean, I think it's an explosion with Pinterest and, you know, social channels that, you know, are really bringing the at-home maker alive. And, you know, we're constantly reminded of all of the cool things. And it puts a little pressure on us, I think, right? Like, mm-hmm. you see what, you know, your neighbor's making. And, you know, it goes beyond to, like, you know, the star of your kid's classroom, you know, the mom that just always has the perfect cupcake or whatever. And now we're kind of seeing it pop up everywhere. So I think people are really, you know, I think it's the craft explosion of the 70s all over again. So I think people are really, you know, even if it's a handmade bow to embellish the gift that they're giving, or there's just so many different ways that you can infuse handmade into your holidays. And I think that people are doing it, and I think they love it. And I think it's something that they hold on to, as opposed to, like, you know, if they know that you spent, I don't know, a couple hours making, you know, a rug out of pom-poms or a banner out of felt for them specifically, uh-huh. I think that they're going to, you know, really think twice.
Let me ask a really impolite question here.
Sure.
Because do you have to be careful when you're doing something handmade that what you're making is also tasteful? I mean, if you're going to make a rug out of pom-poms, how do you know that the recipient is going to view that as something they would put in their house?
Well, I mean, there's so many DIYs, and there's so many things. So, I mean, I would suggest, you know, hopping online and, you know, to Pinterest specifically, and, you know, searching for something that would call to, like, your mother-in-law. Like, my mother-in-law is most likely not going to like a pom-pom rug, but my sister, mm-hmm. my twin sister, would love a pom-pom rug for her girls in their playroom.
And once again, it's matching the gift to the right, putting thought behind the gift.
The thoughtful gift is the trend this year.
You left the corporate world to do what you do, Teresa, and that was about 10 years ago. You've been in business for about 10 years.
That's correct.
Was it a good move?
Definitely. I'm making a change every single day with every product that we sell, and I know that.
Wow.
I know that every time something sells in the store, someone is able to make a living, a good living, a decent living.
That's Teresa Hernandez. You can find all kinds of very interesting, eclectic pieces at her shop, Pura Vida Worldly Art in Noda. Rachel Fawcett joined us from Georgia. She's the founder and master crafter for Handmade Charlotte, handmadecharlotte.com. Laurie Prince is a contributing style editor of Charlotte Magazine. Check out their list of last-minute gifts. And Eve White of Charlotte Parent Magazine, check out their list as well. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Mike.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Business North Carolina Magazine, covering the economy, industry, and business of North Carolina each month. December features the state's best doctors, with subscriptions online at businessnc.com and at the App Store. The hacking of Sony Pictures poses new challenges for U.S. cybersecurity. Diane Ream and her guests will talk about why this is different from other attacks and what a proportional response by the Obama administration might look like. That's coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. And when we come back on this program today, we talk about giving back and ways to do that in these waning days of 2014. Stay with us.
Thanks to the generosity of members, WFAE has been able to meet the exceptional demands of 2014 and bring you the best news from around the world and from your backyard. As the year ends, consider a tax-deductible gift to WFAE. Call 704-549-9000 or visit WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. This isn't just a season of giving. It's also a season of giving back. And if you're looking for opportunities to do that, whether it's because you want to make a difference or you're looking for a year-end tax deduction, we have you covered. We're joined by Bill Norton, Vice President of Marketing for United Way of the Central Carolinas. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Ronnie Glassberg. I didn't know there was a front page editor. I guess I should have known that. But Ronnie Glassberg is the front page editor of the Charlotte Observer. Thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And you're here, Ronnie, because you have at the Observer a gift-giving guide, which can be still it can still be found online.
Right.
How did that start?
Well, this is the 29th year of the Charlotte Observer's giving guide, and it started by a former religion reporter, the late Kathleen McLean, who saw a need, she was very in tune with the nonprofit world and saw a need to connect the Charlotte Observer readers with nonprofits. So she started this guide as a way to prompt people to give around the holidays. It comes out in print the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then it's now available year-round online at charlotteobserver.com/givingguide.
And on that guide, you can find what, the needs of various organizations around the area?
Yeah, we have more than 200 agencies that are listed, and you can search by a variety of topics. If, say, you get a new iPad for Christmas, you can type in iPad, and you can look for agencies that want your iPad.
Your old iPad.
Your old iPad, exactly. And you can also search for volunteer needs. So if you are looking to volunteer or to donate.
Are most of the organizations on the gift-giving list at the Charlotte Observer, are they United Way organizations, or do some of them are not members of that?
It's a mix, yeah.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would you assess the need out there this year? We've come out of a long, long, deep recession. How would you assess the need this year?
Well, you know, a great example is in today's Observer that they've got the Christmas Bureau beat that Mark Price writes, and he profiled a family where the couple is working three jobs, and they had to go to the Salvation Army Christmas Bureau to get gifts for their kids. And I think the quote in the paper was telling. It was, "We really didn't want to do this. This is the first time we've ever had to ask for help."
Right.
But they did. And thankfully, the community stepped forward.
You're the front page editor. That's on the front page of the paper this morning. Would it have been on the front page of the paper in July? Or is it on the front page because it's the holiday season? This is kind of off the topic, but I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, we put stories like that on the front page in July. Mm-hmm. You know, we're focused on the Empty Stocking Fund, which provides money for the Salvation Army's Christmas Center to buy gifts for those in need. And we're closing in on $300,000 in donations. And the response from the community, from our readers, is really heartwarming. When we profile a family, people call in to our reporter, Mark Price, and they want to help out this family. They'll, you know, donate Christmas trees, donate gift cards to really help out that specific family.
This is the time of year when we are really asked to give money. We're asked to give needed items. We're asked to give toys, particularly at this time of year. But some people may not be in a position to give any of those things, but they do want to give back. Mm-hmm. And I guess you would give back by volunteering your time, by being present, by being available. How many opportunities like that are there?
There are year-round opportunities. We've got, at United Way, we've got a volunteer center. Sounds lofty, but it's really just two people. But they are really experts at pairing you up with something that moves you, mm-hmm. something that meets your schedule, and something that meets a need out in the community. And most often we'll pair a volunteer up with a United Way agency, but we'll also pair up volunteers with other organizations too. And that is year-round. And the neat thing about that is you reference not having the ability to give back financially. Even if you do have the ability to give back financially, I'd encourage you to volunteer, A, because it makes your donation go farther. The agency that you volunteer with is not spending money on something that you're volunteering with. Mm-hmm. But B, you see firsthand what your money's doing. And you know, most often, looking at the United Way campaign, for example, you check a box once a year and you really don't think about it again until the campaign starts again next year. If you're volunteering, you see something that you don't get to see.
Yeah. If you see the need, you feel the need, and you realize what you have done with your money is probably a good thing that you're more likely to do again.
And you feel good about it. I mean, there's so many charitable asks this time of year. But if you don't feel warm in your heart by giving, that's not the reason. You shouldn't be giving because you feel compelled to. You should give because you've made a difference in someone's life, and it also makes a difference in your life. And if you're not seeing that, yeah, go out and volunteer.
Maybe this is the cynic in me because I do what I do, and I know a lot of things that I shouldn't know, and I see the sausage being made sometimes. But you're in the newspaper business. You're a journalist. Mm-hmm. It always strikes me, it's very nice and warm and fuzzy that at Christmas time we want to give Toys for Tots. We want to feed them turkey turkey at Thanksgiving and make sure they have a warm place to sleep. And then comes May, June, July, August, September, they're completely out of sight, out of mind, but the need doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. If they needed to eat in December, they'll need to eat in March. They'll need to eat in June. Do we give too much emphasis this time of year and not enough the rest of the year?
I mean, at The Observer, we have a reporter, Mark Price, who covers nonprofits throughout the year. So I think that is an ongoing focus there. And in terms of, you know, our giving guide, it's available year-round. People can search for volunteer opportunities by, you know, eight different categories. So if you're passionate about homeless and hungry, you can look for the organizations that help those people. If you're interested in the elderly, you can look for organizations that help elderly groups.
Bill, you see this all year because you're with United Way. So I ask you the same question. Do we emphasize this too much during the holidays and not enough the rest of the year?
Well, a great example is just what he referenced, Mark Price covering United Way. He doesn't just check in on us this time of year. He covers us all year long. Mm-hmm. WFAE as well. I mean, we've been on Charlotte Talks not just this time of year, but other times of the year. The fact that Charlotte's media, television as well, sits up and pays attention, I think that's something unique to Charlotte's culture. There is more nonprofit coverage here than there are in other major metros. And I think that speaks to the fact that they're in tune with Charlotte's community, that they want to know about these stories year-round, not just this time of year.
You think that's still true now that the newspapers changed hands a couple of times and that some major media companies in town have changed hands a couple of times? Is that still true that there's this Charlotte focus on things and that they've tuned into this Charlotte zeitgeist about giving?
I mean, I think at least in The Observer, our focus on Charlotte has only increased under the new owners, McClatchy. Mm-hmm. The nonprofit beat was something that happened actually during the downturn.
Okay. Let's talk about need at the moment, Bill. I read yesterday, and it never connected with me, but I think it's absolutely true that the need actually may be greater at Christmas time. particularly for food and clothes and things like that, because parents who are working two, and in the case of the front page story this morning, three jobs just to put food on the table and keep a house, a roof over people's heads, can't, they don't have the money to buy a gift for their kids, and they want to buy something to put under the tree. And so it becomes a choice between, do I do that and not eat or not pay the rent, or what do I do? And so the need is greater this time of year.
Absolutely. I mean, the challenge we see all year long, and that's, for example, that's why Crisis Assistance Ministry does what it does. There'll be something at that dinner table conversation about what are we going to pay this month, the utilities, the medical bill, Junior's after school tutor. Mm-hmm. That's a luxury that people in crisis don't have. And then you throw one more wrench into that at this time of year. That's the Christmas gifts. And I mean, it's hard enough if you are just getting by to figure out how to get by. But imagine if you can't meet your child's Christmas dreams. And we all, none of us gets everything we want.
Right.
But I mean, when you're talking about not having any gift under the Christmas tree, that's sad. Hmm. And I mean, I think that is one of the reasons that this community rallies. There was a quote by Shelley Henderson of the Salvation Army talking about the Christmas Bureau, saying, you know, we don't know how we're going to fill these shelves and meet everyone's need. And right now they are running short on toys. They need more toys for 9 to 12-year-olds, for 1-year-olds, believe it or not, but also for seniors who don't have family anymore.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me that the Salvation Army is running short on toys, because there are other organizations that also jump in there, like the Marines have the Toys for Tots program. Yep. What exactly do 9 to 12-year-old – they need new unwrapped toys. Yep. What do they need? You just go to the store and buy a toy that says 9 to 12?
Well, I mean, great example is a soccer ball. I mean, how hard is it to find something like that? Books. We really emphasize the learning aspect in everything that we do. We've got a Project 1000 initiative that tries to encourage people to read, tutor, and mentor to a child. Great example this time of year, if you have the time, 30 minutes a week, to read to a reading buddy, why not get some books, give back physically that way, but then also spend some time as a child is coming out of Christmas break, gearing back up into the school year. Great New Year's resolution would be just to spend 30 minutes a week with a child. And we have seen with our volunteers in that United Way initiative, 30 minutes a week, the kids have jumped 4 levels in one school year just because someone is spending a little bit extra one-on-one time showing that they care. And, I mean, again, you talked about mom or dad having 2 or 3 jobs. If you're working 3 jobs,
you don't have time.
You don't have time. Right. Yeah. So this is you can really make a difference.
How do you get connected with that?
Simple. Go to the United Way website or call 211. You see an initiative called Project 1000. But if you just go to the Google United Way and volunteer.
211 is a number I didn't know existed until yesterday. We know about 411 and 911 and 311, which is the city's helpline. 211 is what? Where does it go when I call 211?
That is a United Way statewide initiative, so you can call that from anywhere. And it's actually run out of Raleigh. We don't run it, but we do feed them information. Most people use it for getting in touch with an agency. I need help. I call 211. But you can also call 211 to say, I want to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a hotline to make it easy.
You mentioned seniors. I never thought about this.
Yep.
Maybe I'm just callous, but seniors need gifts. They're impoverished seniors.
Yep. Well, I mean, yeah.
Talk about that.
If you think about it, eventually the rest of your family is going to pass away, which it's kind of sad to think about being the last surviving member of your family. But, yeah, those folks don't have anyone to buy them gifts. Or great example, Cabarrus Meals on Wheels. They deliver 350 meals a day to homebound seniors. Now, most of their volunteers right now are all stressed out thinking about Christmas for their own family or getting to Christmas somewhere else. And they've got a huge drop-off in volunteers just this week. So if you're looking for something, a way to volunteer, Call Cabarrus Meals on Wheels. They will get you on the route. And how awesome would that feel to deliver that meal this week and just spend some time with a senior who doesn't have someone else to care about them?
Ronnie, tell us again how people can best use the gift-giving list in The Observer, the I forget what it's called, the gift-giving guide in The Observer.
Well, they can just go to – I mean, it's online at charlotteobserver.com/giving guide, and they can search by a variety of different ways. If you're looking to volunteer, you can look at, for the different categories. Again, like if you're looking for to help homeless organizations, you can find the homeless organizations in the community. And it also tells you some organizations have a minimum level of minimum time commitment. So it includes that as well.
So you can really kind of shop around for the thing that fits you and your time schedule and your abilities the best.
Exactly. And there's a broad range of different types of opportunities.
This Project 1000, Bill, that you mentioned, there are 4,100 homeless children right now, give or take a few, in the CMS system. And you're talking about becoming a tutor or a mentor to some of these kids as part of this project. How many people are involved as volunteers doing that right now? Do you know?
We have 600-some volunteers, about 400 of which have actually been trained by United Way, and we do that year-round. We offer free training for these volunteers so they really get the most out of their time. So, yeah, we're trying to get to 1,000 eventually. That's the name. We could use another 300, 350 volunteers, and trust me, the kids are out there.
Okay. Charlotte likes to be number one in everything, but in terms of giving – we are ninth. That's not bad, but we're ninth in the nation. That generosity, I'm told, is actually increasing. So maybe we'll be eighth or seventh or sixth very soon. But how is that happening and who is making that happen?
Well, a great example from our campaign trail right now. Ingersoll Rand just wrapped up their campaign. They went, 5 years ago, Jane McIntyre's first campaign, they raised $300,000. This year, and we thought that was really good. This year, it was almost $1.3 million. So companies like that stepping up, great example of this city's generosity.
But generosity is not just money. It's also time and effort and your willingness to be there. And there's great need for that as well if you can't afford it at this moment, if you're tapped out. But if you can, it's tax time. Bill Norton is Vice President of Marketing for United Way of the Central Carolinas. Ronnie Glassberg is the front page editor for the Charlotte Observer. Their gift-giving guide is at charlotteobserver.com/giving guide. Giving guide. Simple, and we'll put that website on our website moments from now. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.